On the show today, we have Advantage Analytics' Tammy Schwartzer talking to us about how to activate data for optimal member engagement. So check it out. Gotcha. And I think you kind of alluded to this in your previous response, though, but we're talking, we've been hearing the term hyper-personalized quite a bit lately. Oh, boy. So what does this really mean to folks who, this might be something new to them? What does it really mean to folks out there?
That is a great question, because hyper-personalization, I don't call it a buzzword. It's a very valuable word, but it is out there everywhere now. I heard a great analogy, and I'm afraid if I'm going to see how I can frame it in a way that I don't ruin it. So picture yourself. Picture yourself on this really busy street. Okay. You're dropped in the middle of a city, say, cars, traffic, people, buildings, everything around you. It's literally visual and audio clutter, just noise everywhere. And someone yells, "Hey, you, are you going to turn around?"
Maybe.
Now,
depends on the town.
It depends on how loud they are, right?
Yeah.
Then picture yourself, same crazy situation, all the activity happening around you, all the clutter, and someone yells, "Hey, Michael."
Oh, yeah, I'll turn around then.
Will you?
Yeah.
And when you turn around and you think about the congestion there are going to be a lot of Michaels there.
Oh, yeah.
And when you turn around and you realize that the person who yelled your name, you don't recognize, are you likely to interact with them?
Again, it depends on the town. I'm just playing with you.
Exactly,
but
right?
I might, you know.
And there's a hesitancy.
There is.
Because you don't know who they are.
Exactly.
Now, what if? Same as street, same situation, that individual yells, "Hey, Mike, how's the dog, Bentley? You're golden. How is, you know, your Honda CR-V? And hey, it's, what is it, 10 years old now? Hey, it might be time. We want to think about the new ones I just heard have a bigger cup holder for that Starbucks venti. Can now hold a venti.
Yeah.
Half cap. Crap. Right? Well, then how likely are you?
Now I'm way more likely to engage, because this person, I'm kind of freaked out a little bit, because this person, this stranger knows my habits and stuff, but, you know, but if it's a familiar, if it's my, I know where you're going with this, if it's my credit union, yeah, I'm going to engage because I know them. But, you know, it goes kind of goes back to, you know, when your parents teach you don't talk to strangers type of thing, no matter how much they know about you, you know, but I get the context.
Right, and they're not offering you candy. What they've just basically said is, I know. Sorry to use the same analogy back.
That's okay.
Of safety, but you're basically framing it in a way that says, I know so much about you that no matter what, I'm most likely serving in your best interest. And you're likely to engage, because even if you didn't recognize right away, you say, they know me.
Yeah.
They know me.
Yeah.
And that, in a nutshell, is hyper-personalization.
Gotcha.
And personalization in general, when it comes to brand integrity and framing your brand and messaging, isn't new. I mean, we've used names on direct mail, direct email for years, right? But the level of personalization is emerging, and it is game changing. And it's those companies that have been able to harness data, they're the ones driving this immense change.
Yeah.
This immersion, if you will. And while the example I've used is probably a bit extreme, it's actually not that far off.
Oh, I think you're pretty close. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're pretty close.
Honestly, think about it. When you are out and you're online, I know when I'm online, I'm moving from site to site to site to site. And when I do, every time I move from searching for something, research something, doing an online transaction, all of that is being captured. That's all generating data, right?
Yep.
And that data combined with my personal data has now created a digital DNA. It's a one-of-a-kind digital DNA that's unique to me. And that's allowed companies in general not to really know me, to really understand me, and they know my they're starting to learn my personality, my patterns, my preferences. And what that's doing is it's giving these organizations an ability then to customize how they're going to talk to me. So that customization could be everything from image to colors to, you know, just not just the message.
Mm-hmm.
The formal term for that is called multivariate messaging.
Multivariate messaging. I'm going to put that down as something new I learned today. So thank you very much,
Tammy. We're going to get you ahead of the game. Hyper-personalization, but let's go with multivariate messaging.
Yeah.
But, you know, multivariate messaging, all it is, honestly, are all those components, all those variables. And anyone who's have any familiarity with marketing automation, those variables have also been called dynamic content,
mm-hmm.
Or smart content.
Yep.
I don't know if you've heard those.
Yep,
terms.
Heard that.
So those pieces, that dynamic content and that smart content, think of those as like puzzle pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And those pieces come together and they create that multivariate message that has been hyper-personalized before it's sent to you.
Impressive stuff, Tammy.
Well,
impressive stuff.
It's really important, and I want to touch on this because this level of personalization, this hyper-personalization, it's not a nice to have. It's a need to have.
Okay.
And honestly, it does require a little bit of investment. So when we talk to the credit unions, mm-hmm. about, you know, what's important, it does require kind of testing and learning. We had talked about that just a minute ago, mm-hmm. in different variables. Well, you're going to test and learn with different data points to see what's working well and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also an investment in systems.
Yep.
To be able to send that information out in real time. So think about contextually relevant information in real time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an example of this that why I want to say it, and I'm sorry to completely emphasize this maybe more than Mike, but when I say it's a need to have, Mike, it's real. There's a statistic I read, gosh, maybe it was just a couple days ago, on it globally, corporations are losing something to the tune of $300 trillion in revenue as a result of poor consumer experiences.
Goodness.
And it was something like just under 90% of companies said they are going to be competing solely on experience in the next 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's real, it's alive in financial institutions. Our credit unions are dealing with this right now. A great example of this would be, I travel a lot in my role, and I was traveling with some coworkers. And one of our coworkers, we were wrapping up a series of meetings. We went out to dinner and had some drinks, and she said, "Hey, I'm going to buy dinner for everyone." That's great. Who argues with that? Pulls out her credit card from her credit union to pay the bill. The server comes back, and it's declined.
Oh, no.
So she said, "Well, that's odd." You can see the reaction on her face. She pulls out big bank. So she had big bank card. Ooh, right? The four-letter word, bank. Pulls out that card. But moments later, she gets a text, and that text implies, "Hey, we know you travel a lot. Your card activity has been sensed on set in the state we were in. Is this you?" And all she had to do was touch yes. The card went through, no disruption in service. So think about, and on top of that, she had to excuse herself because service hours at that credit union were in a different time zone.
Mm-hmm.
So she had to go make a call, go through the voice prompts to make sure she could reactivate her card.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Been there, done that.
Right.
But it turned out okay, though. So, yeah, like this.
Right. And the cards were good. But
yep.
The experience, and the same fraud alert kind of activity,
mm-hmm.
but in two different institutions. Which service, both of those are data-driven, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Which service level was more optimal for that member? You know? And then think about another case in this was an individual I work with. Had a mortgage, first mortgage with her credit union. They built a home, took out the building loan with that same credit union, built their dream home. They were in this home maybe 3-6 months and received a solicitation from their credit union for home equity because, boy, are you tired of that same old kitchen? You want to remodel your kitchen. Right now, that institution had the data that showed they had a mortgage and would have had the information that it was a building loan.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't connect those things.
Oh boy!
So how hyper personalized?
Yeah, exactly.